Good afternoon. This is Deborah Johnson. We're reconvening the Uniform Voting System Advisory Committee meeting. There's two more items on the agenda, comments on the RFP system requirements and the report from representative to the public participation panel. I would like to take them out of order. I'd like to get an update from George in terms of the report on the public participation panel. George, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, thanks, George.
I can report, there have been three meetings since the last time we met. The first meeting, I believe, was on July 31st, which I was not in attendance at, and I think Faith was going to be attending. So I don't know if she might have a report, but in any case, I know that Al has put together summaries of each of these meetings in the meantime and posted those. I can speak to the last two meetings, though, and just give you some highlights of what they were finding at those meetings. Those are the meetings of August 14th in Grand Junction and September 11th in Denver. The goal of the participation panel originally was to have meetings in different locations throughout the state. And after the first two of those meetings, I believe the first one was in Pueblo and the second one was in Grand Junction, there were not a great number of participation testimony that was given by live witnesses. In fact, I know at the Grand Junction and at the Denver meetings, only one person had come to pass on their testimony in person, and there was some discussion about taking either telephone testimony, and then the final decision was made to move the meetings back to Denver, which was a more central location, and be able to take more information that way. Rather than repeat all the things that Al's already put into the memos, the one thing I did want to mention was there was quite a bit of discussion at the last meeting on September 11th about what the public participation panel should be doing as a next step. What happens after the RFP goes out? What is their continuing role in this? And they expressed the desire to have at least one of their members be appointed to help participate in the review of RFP responses. Al, I don't know if you want to say more about that, if there has been a plan put forward on that. I know there was a desire to have that, and I'm not sure if they had appointed someone to do that.
Madam Chair, this is Al. George, the process has changed a little bit since that meeting, and I'll be discussing that next. So is that okay?
Oh, of course. Okay.
Thanks.
I know that was kind of in the state of flux, so you know more about that than I do at this point.
Right, I'll give you an update here in a sec.
Bottom line is I think they would like to reassess their role going forward. I expressed my view somewhat on behalf of our group, the advisory committee, that I believe that they do serve an important and continuing role in this, in trying to add additional sources of commentary on the decisions that are being made, and their input is certainly appreciated and valued by all people who are involved in this process. It's a pretty complicated process, and that I think they've been working very hard to try to bring in as much as they can from the public as a whole. So right now, and maybe I'll turn it over with that to Al as to what the decisions were made as to the next steps there.
Faith, do you have any comments?
Just to add, the meeting in Pueblo, which was July 31st, the only member of the public who participated in that meeting was a disability rights advocate from Florida who actually traveled to Colorado to attend some of these meetings, and I did think that his comments were very useful. So I guess that means I agreed with them. But it was frustrating that there were no other folks who attended the meeting, although I do think there wasn't a whole huge amount of outreach and public notification. I did think we had a useful, fairly informal discussion at that meeting.
Al, do you have any?
Yeah, certainly that was the case at the subsequent meeting that was held in Grand Junction. I think they were a little frustrated that they couldn't get more people there. But, you know, looking in hindsight, by the nature of this is fairly complex stuff and perhaps not the kind of thing that the person off the street who doesn't have more intimate knowledge with the workings of this would be able to comment on very well.
Wayne?
This is Wayne Williams. I guess part of what I would say is even if not many people came, it's still important to have given them that opportunity. And, you know, at the time as a commissioner, we probably passed about $2 billion worth of budgets, and some of them very few people came. But I would never advocate getting rid of the hearing just because no one came to it. And so it's an important part of the process. I think George is right. It is a complex area. And those who are not doing their homework on that particular issue may not feel impelled to come. But I appreciate very much the public participation panels holding the hearings and giving folks the opportunity because that is part of an important part of the process, even if they weren't filled to wall-to-wall people.
I agree. Yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The last meeting, which George left to me to report on, the panel was dealing with what now, as far as they're concerned, and they're continuing to be involved in reviewing the system requirements that are going into the RFP. They took an active role in that. They are preparing a report to the Secretary on their accomplishments so far. What they believe they've accomplished over the past several months with these meetings. They decided that they, with the new rules changes that are going into effect, they wanted to have some impact on those rules. So they are preparing testimony to submit to that as well. We had quite a bit of talk about the evaluation process, and as I mentioned a little bit earlier, that's one of the things I wanted to talk about today, so whenever you're ready to do that, we can. I'll just hold off on that until you tell me you're ready.
You mean the evaluation of RFPs?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Any other comments or questions in reference to the public participation part? I saved the best for last. The RFP and the system requirements, that draft that's been out, and I'm sure all of us have received several pieces of communication from people that have some concerns and have asked some questions. So I think what I want to do is, before we get into anybody else's comments, what are our comments of this last draft? We've gone through it. Do you have any concerns, suggestions? I'll leave it open.
Do we want to go through it? This is Faith. Do we want to go through this like we did the last time, section by section, or just throw it out there?
I think I would just rather throw it out there because we went through it piece by piece, and that I think I would hope that people just wanted to make sure that the pieces that we had suggested before got accomplished and that there weren't any drastic changes from the first couple of drafts that we see.
Yeah, Madam Chair, this is Al. And I would like to say this is the third time we've put this, third version of this we've put out, and we've incorporated numerous changes that have come in from members of the public, vendors, members of this committee, members of the public participation panel. We are taking comments now, even now through tomorrow. We feel we have to cut it off at that point to be able to get the RFP ready to be released on October 1st. That gives us a little over a week to get that all together. The remaining pieces, other than the systems requirements, are being reviewed by internally by the attorneys and the finance people and all that, because it's all the stuff, the boilerplate stuff about contracts and what you have to have in your RFP and how many references you have to give us and all that sort of thing. So, and that's the piece that hasn't been put out, because it's kind of just administrative kind of stuff. The system requirements are the important piece, and that's why we've put it out. And as you've seen from the postings that we've done, we're getting comments in on that, and we expect more by tomorrow afternoon when we finally cut it off. And certainly we'd be happy to take your comments that you may have. You've all been through this in detail at least once, and whatever you come up with today, we will certainly take. And if you have individually other comments that you want to make through tomorrow evening, that'll work great. We'll get them. And we're posting all the comments we do get, so you'll be able to see what's come in.
Faith?
Okay, well, let's see. Under accessibility on page B26, requirement D16, this is the one that deals with an enlarged print, or what we call large print ballots. And the note says, if you are proposing a ballot marking device, does it allow for larger print on the printed ballot? And I would recommend that we take that out, that question out. Personally, I would not want to see large print on a printed ballot. The printed ballot is the official ballot of record, and that would distinguish that person, that voter's ballot, from everybody else's ballot. And so the idea is, and that ballot, for most voters who are going to be using the accessible voting device, so a ballot marking device, for accessibility, you're not going to be able to see the printed ballot anyway. The key there, and what I've requested, and I think it is in here now, is that there be some way for the voter, if there's a DRE, to be able to verify what's actually on the VPAT, what's not in the computer memory card or the storage device in the computer. So for D16, what we need is that on the screen, which is what's providing access for the voter had the ability to enlarge the font, to change the contrast, and that's in here, in order to mark the ballot. But the actual ballot that is printed out should be printed in the same font as everybody else's ballot. So I would recommend deleting that note for D16. Let's see, D37. I was a little bit confused about D37, so just let me find it. I'm reading from my notes. D37, which is the voter verifiable, or as I like to call it, the voter unverifiable paper audit trail. So it says, have the capability of proposing a touchscreen interface for the print on the VVPAT. And I would just point out that some of the equipment that's in use today, and I don't know what the vendors are going to propose out there, but some of the accessible voting equipment is not touchscreen. What comes to mind about what's currently in use is the Hart InterCivic is not a touchscreen machine. It may look like a touchscreen, but in fact, there's a dial that all voters use when they're so it's not, so I would just and that's why this was confusing for me. So I wasn't sure what was the touchscreen interface. So it should just, I'm not sure exactly how it should read. It might be a DRE type of machine or...
Electronic interface?
Right.
Perhaps?
Right. But it, again, just keeping in mind that not every accessible device is going to be a touchscreen. In fact, personally, I prefer that they're not touchscreens.
So changing touchscreen to electronic, is that...
I think so. That's okay. Why I started with, I'm a little confused myself, but I think so.
I think I agree with the first two suggestions.
And then...
we want to go through and say, yes, let's change them as we go through, or do we want to go back afterwards? And
no, let's do it as we go through, so, because I can't remember that far back. So,
okay. I agree with the deletion of the question that Faith wanted to delete, and I agree with the change. That's my input.
Anyone disagree with Faith?
How dare you.
That's your peril. I dare you.
Do it quickly.
Do it quickly. All right, so those two are recommendations of change.
And then I just wanted to say I was pleased to see D36, which is provide a means for voters with disabilities, visually impaired or unable to read. I might rephrase that a little bit. Voters with, I like to say print disabilities, because that encompasses people who have vision disabilities and also learning disabilities and other cognitive disabilities. But at any rate, provide a means for voters with disabilities to review the VVPAT and the note, the review of the VVPAT by voters that probably should be who cannot see or read the VVPAT requires a feature that enables readback from the physical VVPAT, and this is something that I have been asking for 7 years. So I'm really, really happy to see it in here.
So are you suggesting to change the parenthetical phrase there?
Perhaps that.
Because I guess my concern is, I understand what that says. For those who, and I think most people would understand, okay, unable to read or visually impaired. I think if we shortened it to print disabilities, that
people wouldn't know.
People wouldn't know who don't have your experience.
Point well taken.
This is Jennifer. I was going to make a suggestion that maybe just not even qualify the disability, just leave it at a person with a disability, and I think that would pretty much cover you if you have a legal issue.
I guess my concern there is, this is one where I actually think having the two different types spelled out is helpful to tell the vendor, we need to make sure you address both of these. And I think if you didn't spell out both of them, that they might just think of one of them and not be aware of the other.
I think the problem is, though, if you ask somebody what exactly their disability is, I don't think someone really needs to explain what it is in order to have the accommodation. So if a vendor is questioning somebody about, you know, wondering why you need this accommodation, they're going to get themselves in trouble.
Now, this isn't the vendor, though, asking the person. This is just, does the vendor have this capability? So...
maybe if we just added, this is Faith, if we just added IE, an example,
yeah,
then like it would be fine. Mm-hmm. But for me, what I'm really, really, again, happy to see is the note.
Yeah, actually.
The note in this one is key.
Yeah, I think it's actually EG.
Okay.
Because it's for example, whereas IE is that is.
Okay. I defer, but whatever it is, this is the example.
I like that.
Yeah.
That way, it's just, you know, we don't get into any of the issues that Jennifer raised.
Yeah.
But again, what's key here is that in order for the VVPAT to be truly accessible for voters with disabilities, the voter has to be able to know what is on the VVPAT, not what's in the computer.
Yep.
Because if those aren't matching, that's the purpose of the VVPAT. Is for the voter to be able to confirm that the way they intended to vote and mark their ballot is the way it's actually marked. And so this is outstanding, and I think it was something I had requested. So thank you for putting it in.
So everybody agree with the change that has been suggested for D36, that there be an EG for the phrase in parens there? Great. Everybody shaking their head. Anybody on the phone?
No opposition.
Okay. Any other
That's
comments?
Fine here as well.
Okay. Any other comments, concerns on the draft? I just want to make an overall comment. I did a real quick review and felt that at least the comments from the advisory committee were incorporated. So thank you, staff. I want to say that. I'm there. Seeing none, I think what I would like to do is to get an understanding from Al how he's going to incorporate the public comments that are coming in, and then you want to talk a little bit about the evaluation process.
Once we get all the comments in, we will sit down and go through them and discuss the merits and determine whether or not we're going to put them in or not. Most of the comments that get submitted get represented in one form or another. Sometimes there are competing comments, but we try to work those things out. So we'll be evaluating those and putting those in next week. We won't post the system requirements again until we post the final RFP on October 1st. And that gets us into the schedule. The RFP will go out October 1st. It's due back December 2nd. And at that point, we need to have an evaluation process ready to go. We have been deliberating over how that should work, I think the model that we had been discussing up until this time, while traditional, doesn't fit with the public participation kind of process that we've tried to maintain up to this point with this committee and with the other committees. So what we're proposing for an evaluation process is that we go ahead and we have the technicians do the technical review. We have the technical volunteers who helped us draft the original set of system requirements, look at it, the people from the counties, but that we bring the RFP responses to this committee and to the public participation panel for review, and we manage the process through these two committees, the evaluation process. There will be staff evaluation, of course, but it all feeds into here, hopefully coming out with a recommendation and not more than one recommendation from the different committees as to what direction the state of Colorado should go on this, what direction the secretary should pursue on this, and it's ultimately his decision. But that is going to require some additional meetings at a very busy time of the year. We will get the responses back on the 2nd. It's going to take us a couple of days to go through and make sure that they've met all the legal requirements and that we can accept the first acceptance evaluation and accept it. So we'll probably get that done in a couple of days. Then at that point, I would see us posting all of them on the website. And I think at that point, they'll be available for the UVS Advisory Committee and the Public Participation Committee to begin reviewing them, along with the technical people. And then I think it's going to be incumbent upon us to schedule meetings of this group and the Public Participation Panel to be able to work through your thoughts on those things. So, and that's going to have to happen rather quickly. We're running up against Christmas. We've got until we've tentatively got demonstrations scheduled somewhere between the 2nd of January and the 17th of January for vendors who have submitted to come in and demonstrate their things. And then we're looking for some kind of a determination early in February at this point. So that means meetings for this group and the public participation panel in the early to mid part of December, as well as in early January, and participating in the demonstrations as well. And then at some point, coming up with a recommendation to the secretary. that's the way we see the evaluation process working right now, and certainly put it out for your comment.
Wayne?
So I think we are at the point where then talking about dates makes some sense. So to get it started.
Can we talk about process first before we get to dates?
Sure.
Do you have does anybody have heartburn with the process?
I mean, I've got a comment on it, which is, and admittedly, because of the recall, I have not responded to every comment I've gotten. But let me say this. What we are doing is a request for proposals at this point. The fact that we are requesting proposals does not mean that a proposal has to be picked out of there. It may very well be that based on the response to the RFPs, we say there's nothing out there we think we should do at the present time because nothing's any good. Or it may be that we say we think these two ideas are great. And so some of the comments we've gotten have been along the lines of not comments on specifics in the RFP, but comments on the RFP process generally. In my view, and I'm not saying I speak for everybody, is simply that I think it's appropriate to see what's out there, to see. And we've got lots of questions and evaluation criteria. And whether it's the couple that we looked at just now or others that are in there. And so my view of this evaluation period is that after we get the proposals, that we are evaluating. And it may be that we ultimately say we want to do pilots with two because we think they're both really good. Or it may be we say we want to do a pilot with one. Or maybe we say, let's see if they've fixed some of this stuff in another year. So the fact we're going through this process for me as an advisor to the Secretary of State does not mean we have made up our mind. I haven't made up my mind as to what the answer is going to be. That would seem kind of, some ways, nonsensical and counter to the whole RFP process, which is we're looking to see what's there. Does it make sense to go with a uniform system? Does it make sense to try a couple out? And so, at least for me, I have not made a decision yet as to where to go, and I want to see the proposals to help shape my input. So that's where I am generally on process. And it could be, as some have said, well, no one will respond, in which case the evaluation process will be fairly simple.
Quick.
And then it may be, you know, we go back, but questioning, you know, not doing anything because we might not get any, or we might not get any we like, I don't think makes sense at this stage. I think it does make sense to see what's there, to see what proposals we get, and then to evaluate it based on that. And for me, that range of evaluation is all of these are garbage. All of them are great. Two of them are great. One of them is great. And so that's my comment on just a general process. And in response to some of the public comments, which I do try to go through, even if because of the recall, I haven't responded to each of them individually.
Madam Chair, if I might, in my comments, I didn't mean to imply that a recommendation for no purchase is not a possibility. I mean, it's always a possibility.
Yeah, I think that's what the point I want to make is that there is the flexibility, that there is this range of possibilities that, you know, there may be two just that are fabulous and we want to pilot them, which one comes out on top in terms of functionality or usability. So, and if we don't think they're all trash, then we throw them all out. And I think that what is the evaluation criteria? I mean, I just want to make sure that, you know, the public participation panel and us and staff are all using the same criteria and ranking them the same way, giving the same weights. You know, I don't know how you want us to do that. So is that something staff has already looked at, or?
Well, we're in the process of looking at. Of course, the basic criteria is they will respond to our system requirements, what they meet, how they meet it, what they can't meet. And so that's the very first criteria there. And as we stated in the RFP, the ultimate decision is based on what we as Coloradans feel is best for the state of Colorado. I mean, we have to develop more specific criteria than that, but we've got all the specific system criteria in there. Then it's a matter of how it works in our new election model, how it works for our people with accessibility issues, those kinds of overreaching or overarching kind of concerns.
Well, but there's, you know, there's like 40-some pages of requirements here. So, I mean, to me, there are some that are more important than others. So we need to look at how we're weighting these in here, you know. And, I mean, if we left it to Faith, all of the accessibilities would get 10s. You know, I got to give you a hard time, Faith. It's the last time. But anyway, so, I mean, just what is the weighting going to be?
Yeah, I understand that. We haven't got that far yet.
Okay.
So all right. We have time to work on it between now and December.
I have a question when you guys have time.
Yeah, go ahead, Sheila.
Okay, you never know when it's a good time when you can't see everybody.
Sorry, just
but I was wondering, I reviewed some of the comments on the web page, and it looks like some of the vendors that commented or asked questions, they were a lot of pretty good and substantial comments or questions, and I was wondering if all the vendors have been communicated with. Like, do you feel like they're going to be fairly responsive and some of their questions have been answered? On what the requirements were.
Oh, I think we're going to get a very good response on this RFP. We get calls all the time. Are you still on track with the October 1st release? And when does it need to be back? I probably get 3 calls a week from different vendors on that. And then there are several that have submitted comments as members of the public in our public comment period, and some of those suggestions, as you say, Sheila, have been quite good, and we've incorporated some of them.
Wayne?
Well, that's good to hear. Thanks.
This is, Madam Chair, this is kind of in response to your question, which is, I don't know going in that giving a mathematical rank to each of the dozens or hundreds of evaluation criteria is really where I'd go at this stage. It's more, some of it may be a qualitative analysis of, does this seem to do what we need? And then I guess coming up with a mathematical formula ahead of time may not be the way to do that, and in some cases it may be, if it won't do this aspect, we don't really care if it does anything else. And that's why there's so many different requirements that are in here that I don't know, going through and giving each one a point value that we evaluate ahead of time is...
Yeah, but it just leaves it too subjective for me then. I mean, it just, you know, my quality is a lot different than your quality. And, you know, a public participation person may have a different quality than what I would have. So, I mean, I'm anxious to see what the staff is going to come up with in terms of, so that there is some standards set for the evaluations. And you're right, Wayne, we're all going to come in there with our own preconceived needs. And, you know, what is the best? But I think that we all need some guidance in terms of how we at least get on some issues, the priority ones.
Yeah, and I guess if I might just respond quickly, I'm not saying that some of that shouldn't be done, but ultimately, okay, so I'll pick one. If the machine doesn't count votes accurately, I really don't care what other features it has.
That was a pretty simple one, yes.
But I'm not going to, I'm not sure if a point evaluation would capture all that. So even if it's clunky at everything else, but it's the only one that counts accurately.
I think we throw that one out.
I mean, if it, so part of it is, that's why I'm not sure. So I think while we can use some mathematical numbers, ultimately we're going to have to take a qualitative view to say, does this do what's really critical? And that the mathematical numbers may help shape that debate. But for me, there are some critical elements that if it can't do, I really don't care what else it does.
Okay.
And Madam Chair, the way we're asking the questions is for them to respond. Either they meet the requirement completely, they meet it and are willing to make some adjustments so they meet it completely. They can meet it, but they don't right now. And they don't meet it at all, and I have no intention of changing to meet it.
Okay. Okay.
No, yeah. So those are the responses we're asking them to give us. So that's the information that we will have based upon how they assign their numbers to it.
Okay.
And then, of course, each of them is going to have 500 pages of brochures and things like that that are part of their sales pitch, too. But also, that's you get some of the detail in there as well.
Okay.
And this is Faith, and I completely agree with Alan. I just wanted to add and just remind you all that I did sit on the RFP evaluation team back in 2005 or 6 when the state was looking to go to a preferred vendor. And I do remember spending many, many hours, and we just had 3 submissions. But I do remember just kind of tearing my hair out at times. But because it was a very challenging process, and but you have to pretty much take their word for it on the proposal. It's when they're invited in for the demonstration where you actually get to see things. So if they say, for example, I remember one of the vendors, you know, was saying that their accessibility equipment was just fantastic. Well, that sounded great, so I gave them a high score. But this, I also knew in the back of my mind that this was a particular piece of equipment that maybe there had been some issues with it in other places that we didn't have it here, but I had heard things about it in other places, but that's not what was in the proposal. So I had to just focus on what is the vendor telling me in this proposal, and I have to evaluate based on that. And having numerical, you know, the numbers. So, yes, there was some subjectivity on my part in terms of what number I gave them, but I had to set aside the other subjectivity or the other stuff and just focus on what is actually in this proposal, not what I know otherwise. And I think I won't be evaluating, but for those of you that will be, you really have to separate what your experience might tell you from what are they saying they're going to be able to do.
Madam Chair, in response to Faith's comments, and I hope that maybe she will reconsider and help us evaluate these, as a private citizen, we are going to be asking other information that you'll have available to you, too. Participated in RFP in any other state, we've asked for that if they've done anything in the last 5 years, I think it is, and we will get references to all of those states where they were selected, where they weren't. So we'll be able to talk to other folks too about any areas that we may have questions about. So that's a bit more information as well.
Just great conversation. Just 2 things I want to add. This goes back to Sheila's concern and who's the customer. I mean, I know you stated that you've got tons of boilerplate stuff out there, but I think we would like to see that verbiage, some of it at least, as it pertains to the contracting and who is going to be the customer once we buy the equipment.
I'll certainly be glad to show that to you. What it says right now is that the state will develop a price-only contract, and all negotiations and dealings as far as implementation, et cetera, belong with the county.
Thanks for that clarification.
Thanks. And also, too, and I know that not everyone will be responding to every part of these technical requirements, and so if staff could kind of break those out to, if there is certain vendors that are only doing just one aspect or one or two of them, that those are separated over here, and then those that are responding to, you know, 70% of the requirements, then let's have those in one group too. So that kind of helps us out in evaluating.
I agree.
Okay, thanks. Any other comments, concerns?
Well, even though it's already been addressed or explained, but this is Faith again. I'm just going to, for my swan song, say I still think we should be slowing this down even further, and particularly concerned about the need for the, given what's in state statute, the current language in state statute, I am concerned. And there's no guarantee that the legislature is going to pass anything. Mm-hmm. So I will just, as my goodbye to everybody, just say that I do believe that we should not be issuing the RFP on October 1st. And if we're issuing an RFP to just see what's out there, I thought that was the purpose of the RFI request for information that went out several months ago. So if I was a vendor and hearing that, well, maybe Colorado's not going to choose anybody, I might be less inclined to go through all the work to submit a proposal.
Wayne?
Okay. So since we're a little bit past close, but I would like us to at least choose the date of the next meeting.
That's now back to your dates. Yes, sir.
Well, and I just want to add, though, that I agree with Faith, and I am hoping that the legislature takes it up to deal with the certification issue as well, so we can get a system in, or two, or whatever happens to come from this.
I just want to piggyback on that in saying that one thing that we've all loved about Faith is that she's been very consistent in her comment on this, the timing of this whole process. So, you know, thank you. Your last swan song. Go for it, Faith.
Well, and this is Donetta, and I also agree with, you know, I think that my comments throughout this process has been, you know, we're moving too fast. I think legislation is most important, as I've always said, because I think we need to change our existing law before we move forward with certification. And as we know how important certification is in this process. So I really look at this when we put an RFI out. To me, this is, I mean, an RFP out. To me, this is really truly, because we want to know the amount and issues, what they can do, is really being treated like an RFI in a lot of ways. But I know it's truly an RFP, but it's hard. Go ahead, Wayne. Correct me.
Well, I wouldn't dream of correcting you. I may not always agree.
All right.
But I do want to respond. Change our legislation to what? So until we get the RFP responses, I don't know what we change our legislation to. And so it's kind of a chicken and egg approach in some senses. But, you know, we go through and say we want legislation to allow us to use something else, but we're not sure what that something else is. I think is a less informed legislative process than here's where we think we ought to be going. So that's why I think the RFP comes first and then the legislation, because otherwise I don't know what the legislation does.
To me, you've got to get the governance and the, you know, set out. You've got to get the authority set out. That's part of the governance. But also you've got to change some of the laws underneath what our certification process is, not so much the process, but what we're certifying to. When it says 2002, in our law, that makes it really difficult. And I've always said that, you know, we want to certify to what the best is, not to 2002. So that's my concern about legislation. I just think our law is behind in what we're trying to accomplish in what we're doing today.
This is Faith, if I may, just a further add to what Donetta said. On, if you go back to the SLI report on page 14 under federal standards discussion, they explain what the problem is. What we need a legislative fix, because in our current statute, it says 2002 standards. which are extremely obsolete, and they go on to explain that there is no equipment out there that's been, you know, now that's going to be on the market that's certified to those standards. It should say 2005 or later, but we're stuck with 2002 with current state law, as I understand it.
Agreed.
And one way to approach that is that all of the standards adopted since 2002 encompass the 2002 standards and improve upon them.
Okay. Does December 12th give you enough time, Al?
December 12th? Well, you want to meet next month on,
you want to go
on the governance issue, don't we?
Oh, that's right, governance issue.
Sorry.
December 12th works great. That's what I had penciled in for your post.
I'm looking at RFP October 17th.
Well, okay, so let's set both of them.
Okay.
So, okay.
October 17th works for me in the afternoon.
Okay.
I can make it work.
Okay.
And two, are you going to start at 1 or 12?
Al, do you have any preference, 12 or 1?
No, it just depends on when the meeting rooms are available.
Okay.
I guess my preference is 12.
12?
So that we can get out before Denver rush hour.
Okay.
You just want the lunch at noon, right?
That's right.
All right. All right. Okay. Anything in November? Do you need us for anything in November, Al?
I don't think so. I think that
should we be looking at
you folks are going to be all pretty busy.
I mean, we need to get something, I mean, recommended for governance to be considered for legislation.
Well, our subcommittee will have a report on October 17th for that.
Oh, okay. I understood that was going to be your governance meeting. So you guys are going to meet before the 17th?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. That's fine.
Yeah, there's three of us. We'll find a way to do it.
I think that surely we can, if we need a meeting in November, we can come up with that in October.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's hard in November.
Right. I mean.
I agree.
You know, as I look here to fellow clerks and
but because I don't think you even certify until the 20 something of November, right? So
then some people may like actually want to take a Thanksgiving vacation, and
it depends on recounts and everything. It's unknown.
So December 12th
is what you said.
December 12th.
Yeah, it's a Thursday.
Yep.
And that gives Al's group enough time to at least do that initial review.
Mm-hmm. Noon? Okay.
Sorry, can you repeat that date again? I didn't hear the December date.
12th.
December 12th at noon?
Okay, so we've got October 17th, no meeting in November, and then December 17th?
December 12th, 1-2.
I'm sorry. 1-2. Okay, thank you.
And can I assume the agenda for that will be just review of the proposals will be the only thing on the agenda?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. We're adjourned. Oh, well, I should say, does anybody else have any comments? All right. We are now adjourned.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Faith.
We're so good.